You heard that gospel, of course, already today. Hopefully I can add something to the already excellent homily. I'm sure you've already heard it Mass. To do that, I need your help, though. Could you pray for me for a moment? Pray that I'll speak the Lord's words to you, words that can touch your heart with his mercy. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Preaching on this gospel, Pope Francis said, Thomas found faith precisely when he touched the wounds of the Lord. A faith that is not capable of placing itself in the wounds of the Lord is not faith. Those are strong words from our Holy Father. Faith that is not capable of placing itself in the wounds of the Lord is not faith. I'd like to meditate on those wounds, the wounds of the Lord, found in three different ways. The first is the most obvious, the wounds of the Lord. You have a beautifully painted sanctuary with the crucifix prominently displayed, the Lord's pierced side, and of course his hands and his feet are easily visible. And of course we have also the blessing of the living reality of those wounds in the Blessed Sacrament as we are here in adoration, adoring him. The wounds of the Lord, really the wounds of the Lord, to look at those wounds, to look at that crucifix, and to look also with eyes of faith, to see those wounds. I was just assisting at a retreat in which it's a retreat for girls from Franciscan University called Capture My Heart, and the focus of the retreat as the girls minister to each other is helping them to develop an authentic femininity, an authentic understanding of who they are as a daughter of the Father, as a bride of Jesus, and then also who they are called to be as a mother in the future. But one of the girls in her testimony said something so beautiful that struck my heart. She said, "When I look at the crucifix, I know how beautiful I am." That's real faith. When I look at the crucifix, I know how beautiful I am. Because when she sees those wounds of the Lord, she sees wounds that were offered for her. One of the devotions that the Germans have when they pray the rosary is adding a little versicle after the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And depending on the mystery, then, a little versicle. And all of the sorrowful mysteries have this part to them for us. If we're on the first sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, who shed blood, who sweat blood in the garden for us, who was scourged for us, who was crowned with thorns for us, who carried his cross for us, who was crucified for us. And the first way we look at those wounds is to see that each one of them is for us. And we should make it more personal. For me. You did that for me. And when this young lady said, "When I look at the crucifix, I know how beautiful I am," because she understands those wounds are for her beauty as a woman, the beauty of her soul as a member of the church, a beauty that pierces the heart of Christ. That's what he does when he looks at us. It's the response that parents have, at least in their best moments. Maybe when that face, the face of that baby, is seen for the first time after birth. Maybe at different moments in their lives when they're struck by the beauty of that child that has been entrusted to them. Each one of us has that effect on the Lord all the time. We pierce his heart. To look at us always pierces his heart. What is the case for parents in their best moments is the case for the Lord all the time. He looks upon each one of his children, and it pierces his heart. So the first way that we look at the wounds of the Lord is really looking at those wounds that he bears for us. Seeing his heart pierced for us, his hands, his feet pierced for us. And we learn in this resurrection account that we just heard from the Gospel of John how proud Jesus is of those wounds. So proud that even though he's risen from the dead, he has a glorified body. Maybe he even had the chance. You know, I can fix those up for you, the Father said when he rose. Jesus said, no, no, I want to keep these wounds because these are the signs of how much I love them. And that's what helped the apostles recognize him in the upper room. He still bore the wounds. And that's why Thomas insisted, until I touch those wounds, I won't believe that it's the Lord I know loves me. Jesus is proud of those wounds. He shows them off. And it still makes Satan flee in fear. Satan can't imagine bearing wounds for us. It's the craziness of God, the foolishness of God, that he would bear those wounds for us. And so whenever we have a down moment, whenever we have an experience of feeling our own worthlessness, when we feel our own poverty and sinfulness, when we don't feel particularly beautiful, maybe when someone else has put us down, let us take up that refrain from that young lady on retreat and look at the crucifix and remember again how beautiful we are. The second area that we find the wounds of God is in the poor, the suffering. We find the Lord's wounds there. Pope Francis, in a developing confidence, he sort of blurted it out in an address, I think, to the Charismatic Renewal, maybe, that just a couple of months after he was elected and consecrated the Pope, he said, you know, the poor is not just a social category, it's a theological category. Can I say that? Yeah, theological category, because the flesh of the poor is the flesh of Christ. To touch the wounds of the poor is to touch the suffering flesh of Christ, to touch his wounds. And how beautiful it is when we learn that. Now, so many of you are parents, some of you also grandparents. Parents and grandparents are formed with little children touching wounds all the time. Children are like walking wounds. They're just a bundle of need. But to reach out also to the helpless, the poor, the needy, who in a sense never grow up, who continue to have that need for our compassion, that need for our tenderness, that need for a look of love and a word of encouragement. It happens for all kinds of reasons, and there are lots and lots of stories. But to learn how to touch those wounds, which can be difficult at first, because sometimes when we're wounded, we don't simply ask for help. When we ask for help, it's very easy to help somebody who, in a very poor and humble way, says, I'm struggling and I'm hurting. Can you just tell me that everything's going to be okay? That's the best case scenario. We love it when that happens. Sure, I'll tell you that. Everything's going to be okay. Thank you so much. That really helped. And then we move on. Very easy. We love that. But a lot of times what happens when people are poor physically or spiritually, when people have been neglected, when they've been hurt, when they've been beaten up by life, is that instead of humbly asking for help, they kind of scream. And that screaming comes out in different ways. Sometimes in anger, sometimes in hardness, sometimes in rejection. Sometimes they do ugly things. But that screaming shouldn't distract us. All of your children would have starved to death if you had interpreted screaming as a sign that you should run the other way. You probably felt that way from time to time. I can understand that. But you were able to see through the screaming to see that there was a tired, a hungry, a hurting child that needed tenderness and compassion, that needed food and a nap, rather than needing to be neglected and abandoned and run away from like an enemy. And we have to learn that also with the poor. That screaming, which can be such a turnoff, is coming from pain. And if we can learn to reach beneath that, good things can happen. Just this past week, I had the blessing of praying the rosary at the nursing home, something that some of our employees at We Are One Body Radio do every week in La Trobe. And I just entered into the ministry that they have well established. They reach out and they know the different residents there at the nursing home, and I was going around and helping out. And Anita took me and said, "Oh, you know, here's Margaret." And Margaret was there in her wheelchair, groaning, crying, not looking very happy. And I had that impulse that probably all of us have, like, maybe we just leave her there, you know, and keep going on somewhere else. And Anita very beautifully leaned in and just reached around her. What's going on, Margaret? What's, you know, she's sort of non-communicative and just, and wasn't even totally clear whether she was crying or laughing. But Anita just wheeled her in to the rest of the group in the rosary. And we were getting started with the rosary, so I sat next to her and just put an arm on her and started praying next to her. And before you know it, I look over, the crying has stopped, and her mouth is making the Hail Mary. Margaret hasn't communicated with anybody in a long time, and yet she can still pray. She can't pray on her own. It'd be nice if she could have been praying there in the hallway instead of groaning and being abandoned and neglected, but when she was with the group that was praying, she began to pray, and a little smile, a little bit of peace. And then one of the nurse assistants came over right in the middle of the rosary and brought her a medication. Now, I've been in enough nursing homes to know what a trial administering medication can be for those who are suffering in different ways. Margaret was totally docile. He gave her a scoop of that medication. She ate the whole scoop, spoonful, another spoonful, ate the whole spoonful, scooped it out the last, ate the last one, no protest, gave her water. She drank the whole thing. I was so shocked. I said to him, "Wow, she's really docile, isn't she?" He goes, "She's not normally like that." Mercy, tenderness, prayer, touching the Lord's wounds. Pope Francis said, "A faith that is not capable of being merciful is not faith. A faith that is not capable of placing itself in the wounds of the Lord is not faith." We have to learn this way of faith, to touch the wounds, to touch those who are hurting. And it can be such a beautiful experience to find someone who lights up when they're treated not with more rejection, but when we press through and reach out with tenderness and mercy. And the last area where we learn to touch the Lord's wounds, and in this way, reverse a little bit that dynamic. Our wounds are His wounds. The wounds that we carry, the wounds that are caused in some cases by our own sin, the wounds that in other cases are caused by other people's sin, the wounds that we have borne maybe 30 years ago, 40, 50 years ago, or the wounds that were born yesterday, the wounds of a difficult marriage, the wounds of a difficult childhood, the wounds of a difficult workplace, the wounds caused by difficult children. We can carry those wounds on our hearts, and the Lord wants us to know that those wounds too are His wounds. Those wounds too need to be touched with mercy. I have the privilege, in so many cases in confession and other cases in counseling, to have people who open up those wounds, maybe experienced very recently, maybe experienced a long time ago, who open up the wounds of a father who only yelled, or maybe a father who abandoned that little one. It's such a blessing to allow the Heavenly Father to step in, to be an instrument for that fatherhood, to touch the wounds of those who are hurting. For us to come before Him and allow Him to touch our wounds is also an essential part of faith. That means that we have to, first of all, know where those wounds are. Sometimes we do a lot of screaming. We act out in anger. We act out in jealousy. We act out in lust. We act out in gluttony. We act out in greed. We try to fill those places in us that are hurting rather than to face the fact that it's hurting. We act out in all of these different ways. We know that it's not good, but we don't know how to stop. But for us too, there's something else going on underneath there. Sometimes simply asking the question is enough to discover there's a loneliness there. There's an aching there. We need compassion. We need tenderness. We need to simply open that to someone and say, I'm hurting and I need your help. Someone we can trust, we can be vulnerable with. We can open that up in prayer and show that to Jesus. Say, my heart has been pierced. My brother who neglected me. My father who hurt me. My wife who abandoned me. My children who yell at me. My boss who hates me. The wounds that I carry in my heart hurt. Do you see them, Lord? And the Lord shows us His wounds and He says, I see them. Here they are. They're written in my flesh. Allow my wounds to touch your wounds. Allow me to touch you with my tender mercy. Allow me to touch you with my healing hand. Allow me to be all that your father was not for you. Allow me to be what your husband fails to be for you. Allow me to be your child that you long to care for. Allow me to be all that your heart desires. Allow me to touch those wounds with the tenderness of my love. And in this way, we can allow the Lord to fill our hearts with His tenderness. Pope Francis told us, St. Thomas found faith precisely when he touched the wounds of the Lord. A faith that is not capable of placing itself in the wounds of the Lord is not faith. Let us learn to do this. To see in the Lord's wounds, His love for us, the beauty that we have, the way that we captivate Him, all that He's willing to do for us. Let us see in the poor, the weak, the helpless, the suffering, the Lord's wounds, that we are the ones that can carry mercy to those wounds and touch those wounds. We can be generous in taking in the poor, the broken, the forgotten, the lonely. And to see in our own wounds places where the Lord wants to touch us with His love, where faith can help us and heal us. We have a few moments to pray in silence now before the Lord, who is pictured on the wall, but who is present in the Eucharist. Let us behold those wounds. Allow Him to touch our wounds. And also, perhaps even now, to formulate a plan for how we will touch the wounds of the poor in works of mercy, corporal and spiritual.